Today's scripture reading is John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day that we can gather together. Please clear our minds of distractions as we listen to Mr. Dellinger preach. God, please give us ways this week that we can apply what we hear today to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
It's not uncommon for me to receive updates, usually through email, of different ministries in the world, and especially about the persecution of believers throughout this world, Christians in other countries, nations, who are suffering greatly at the hand of their persecutors. I read these articles and see how people are being tortured and killed and taken away, and you know, they live in dangerous countries, always fearful of even family turning them over to the authorities. And you know, this seems so distant from what we experience in day-to-day life here in America. And I read about these brothers and sisters who live in these dangerous environments, and your heart aches for what they have to go through and what their children go through. It's inhumane. It's hard to comprehend. But we know that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, persecution is coming, the scripture says. And these people that we hear about live in some dangerous environments all over the world. But I want us to consider another type of dangerous living that I think maybe we are more likely to be a part of. I would suggest this is more likely to happen to you this week versus someone taking you hostage and torturing you. I doubt your family will be persecuted physically this week. I doubt anyone will burn down your home or even burn down this church. We probably won't have to meet secretly next week. Your life's probably not going to be hanging in the balance because you're a follower of Jesus. And I think those days are coming here in America, but I don't see it happening this week. But we know those days will happen. So what is the danger that maybe, what is the dangerous environment that we may be living in this week and maybe even not even realizing it? Well, another type of dangerous living is trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. That's a dangerous way to try to live. First of all, you can't even really do this. You can't truly live the Christian life on your own. You can certainly be physically alive, but you can't live like Christ has called you to live and still do your own thing. But the danger is, many times we think we can. We think we can do it. But without yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot and will not be able to live a Christ-like life. So we have to realize how important and valuable it is regarding the Holy Spirit in our life and our understanding of what that means. We must understand what God has done by coming to us through His Spirit. You see, Christianity is not just a belief system of facts, of truths. Christianity is not just an intellectual agreement with God. It's so much more. It's a day-to-day, moment-by-moment, relational walk with God through His Spirit. And as children of God, it's imperative to understand the promise and the power that we have in God through His Spirit. And to be clear, the promise of the Holy Spirit, even as we touched on it last week, was not like an afterthought of God. In fact, God promised His Spirit a long time ago. And that's the first truth I want us to see today, is the Father's promise of the Spirit. And we did touch on this last week, but I want us to see that in the book of Joel, we read, "And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit." You see, back in the book of Joel, God was letting His people know there's coming a day that you're no longer going to need a priest. You're no longer going to have certain men like prophets and priests that have the Spirit of God upon them. But everyone who trusts in the Lord, everyone will have the Spirit of God upon them. within them. Sons and daughters, our young people will have the Spirit of God upon them, and not just people of all ages, but even people of different social classes, servants, the slaves, handmaids. These people will have the Spirit of God poured out upon them if they are followers of the Lord. Now, this is great encouragement as far as to the people of Jesus, to those who are children of God. Really, what we see is a foreshadowing of what Galatians speaks about. It says, For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And so when we read this, I want us to see how remarkable this truth is. No longer would the Spirit of God just be seen in prophets and priests and certain men of God, but His Spirit was coming to where it would be upon all people, all different kinds of people who are in Christ Jesus, children of God, men and women and old and young, slaves, servants, you name it. It's everyone who is a follower of Jesus, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, regardless of where you are in the social status. All people who are followers of God are going to be recipients of the Spirit of God, which is great news, especially if you were used to a system of sacrifices and priests and prophets and ceremonial laws. As the words to the song, It Is Finished, which we will sing before we have communion this morning, it says, finished all the types and shadows of the ceremonial law. You see, this is what the people of God were used to, ceremonial laws. But when Christ came, He finished all that was needed because He was the perfect sacrifice. No longer were the things of God going to be left to priests and Levites and prophets. It wasn't. Everyone would have priestly rights and have access to God through His Spirit that lives within them. Peter said this about every believer. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, we are priests now, just like the Old Testament priest who would go before God on behalf of the people. Now we can go directly to God because we are in Christ Jesus. So then, who is Christ in that sense? What do we have in Him? If we are able to do this, well, in Hebrews we're told, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I want you to see what the verses are saying here, is that we are priests of God. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. And because we are in Christ Jesus, this brings us to what we're looking at today, and that is regarding the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that was promised in the book of Joel, that promise now we see within every believer. All of us in Christ Jesus have the Spirit of God, just as the Father promised Him to us. Doesn't mean you only pastors have the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean only adults have the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean only people who maybe have made it well in society have the Spirit of God. It means anyone who is a follower of Jesus, regardless of your age, your gender, social status, you name it, has the Spirit of God within them. That is the promise of the Father. And because the Spirit of God is in each and every believer, all of us can boldly go before the throne of grace. We have just as much access to God as any other believer. Even the heroes of the faith, we have just as much access. Think about this. You have just as much access to God as the Apostle Peter did. That's kind of hard to grasp because we read what he wrote. We read about his life and we're like, wow. But you have just as much access to God as someone like Peter or any missionary or any pastor or any evangelist. You think of the most godly person you know, or maybe the most famous godly person you know, and you name a name that everybody knows, well, you have just as much access to God as that person, which is an incredible gift to us as believers. I mean, could you imagine really needing to talk to the Lord about something and having to go find a priest and go through him? Do you see what God has done? He has directly given us access to himself through the Spirit of God who's in every believer. And this wasn't an afterthought that came up later. God promised His Spirit back in the Old Testament, and Jesus even said in Luke 24, "And behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit coming, but He says, He reminds us that this promise began with the Father. "I will send the promise of my Father upon you." The Holy Spirit of God was the promise of the Father, and after the ascension of Jesus, He came just as the Father promised. Now here's what I want us to see. The promise originated with the Father, but then we have the Son's confirmation of the Spirit, Jesus Himself confirming this is what is happening. And we see that again here in Luke. "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." So Jesus is acknowledging, He's confirming, yes, this promise of the Spirit is from the Father, and it's going to be upon you. And what we see here is the Trinity at work. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the power of God. And we know that Jesus is God and that He has all authority. And Jesus said that back in Matthew. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So Jesus has all authority. So God is all powerful. Jesus is all powerful. The Holy Spirit is all powerful. We have to understand that truth. The Holy Spirit's power is confirmed by Jesus. He told the disciples that the Holy Spirit will soon be here. He's coming with power. And there is no less power in the Holy Spirit than the other two members of the Godhead. It's the same power. But sometimes I think we think, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't have quite as much power maybe as Jesus did. Or Jesus didn't have quite as much power as the Father did. Now, we may not say that with our lips, but I think sometimes we indirectly say that. We may say things, "Wow, I wish the power of God was here like it was back in the biblical days." Now here's the thing, the difference isn't the power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned. You know, it's not like the Holy Spirit has more power today than He did yesterday. What varies is the yielding of believers to the power of the Holy Spirit and believers walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, He can choose to manifest Himself any way He wants to, but His power is not less. What changes is how much we take the Word of God at face value. Do we really believe? Do we really believe what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? Do we believe what God the Father said about His Spirit coming? You see, the Holy Spirit is not an extension of the Father and the Son. He's not this thing of energy that God has sent to represent Himself as if He is separated from Him. No, the Holy Spirit of God is God. He is a person. And I want us to understand that because, I mean, last week I said quite a few times that God lives in us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not a part of God. He's not separated from God, and He's not like God. He actually is God. The Father promised Him, the Son confirmed Him, and today the Holy Spirit of God lives within every believer. In John's Gospel, we read, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And if the Father promised the Holy Spirit, and Jesus confirmed that promise, because we know God keeps all of His promises. The Holy Spirit of God is here today, not living in a temple made by humans, but instead living within believers. The reason that God is here today is because we are here. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. We are the church, the body of believers. We are the temple of God because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And that should be great comforting news to us as believers, because the comfort to know that the Holy Spirit lives within us, we read in Acts, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." You know, several times in the Gospels, we see Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. Now think about this. If you had been one of the disciples, and you had spent 3 years of your life with Jesus, you heard Him teach, you saw Him heal people, raise people from the dead, you had, you know, eaten meals with Him and traveled with Him and pretty much just lived alongside Him for 3 years. And then He's crucified. You abandon Him during that time, only to be reunited with Him later after His death and then see Him ascend into heaven. I mean, those are the most incredible 3 years of your life, spending it with Jesus. You wouldn't trade anything for that. And now Jesus is telling you that He is leaving. I mean, there had to be grief in their hearts as they started to process what was going to happen here. How are we going to go on without Jesus, the one that we've been with for 3 years? How are we going to keep doing what He's taught us to do? How are we going to love like Jesus when Jesus isn't going to be here physically with us? And then Jesus tells His disciples, who must have had 1,000 questions running through their head, He tells them in John, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." Meaning, He's not going to leave you. Jesus says, "I'm leaving you. But who's coming after me is not going to leave you. The Holy Spirit of God, which dwells within believers." I want you to see the significance of what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is about to physically leave and ascend into heaven, and He tells them that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, is going to stay with them forever. You'll never be alone. You'll never not have God's presence because He will be in you, dwelling in believers. And we read that in John a little bit later in verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Again, these are great words of assurance from Jesus. The Holy Spirit, who will come when Jesus leaves, He will teach you. I'm guessing the disciples probably wondered, I mean, "Jesus, You taught us so much." I mean, even John's gospel ends with, you know, we there's not enough books written about all that Jesus has done. So how are we going to remember all this that You've taught us? Who will teach us when we don't know something? The great comfort they have is that the Spirit of God is going to do just that. That He will bring to remembrance what they need to know, and He will continue to teach them. And this just isn't a promise for the disciples. It's our promise as well. The Holy Spirit's power continues to work in the same way today. He teaches us. He brings us to remembrance. Truths of His Word. And the ability to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. No believer has been left alone. God is in you. In the power of His Holy Spirit. He's the promise of the Father. He was confirmed by the Son. And today we have the presence of God's Spirit in our life. So God's timing, again, as always, is perfect. The Holy Spirit of God, who will abide with us, as Jesus says, forever, was now going to indwell these believers after Jesus ascended into heaven. These disciples were, they didn't realize it, but they're on the edge of this revolution that's going to take the world by storm. And their ministry, think about it, the apostles, their ministry was going to take them from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and even to Hope Mills. Think about that. What they were a part of has even led to us meeting here this morning. They would be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. The church was about to be born, and a gathering of people who were known by their love for Jesus and their love for others. So in their sending out, in their preaching, in their ministering, they were not going to go alone. Even though Jesus was not physically going to be with them, they were not going alone. God just wasn't with them in the flesh. Instead, He was in them by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God indwelling believers. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life, I want us to know something. There's some boundaries here that He has. And I want us to see these truths. We'll even build upon these later. But today, we must understand that there are boundaries regarding the Holy Spirit. What we read about towards the end of the Gospels and in the book of Acts is so incredible and so uplifting, so miraculous when you read through what took place in that first century church. Now we know, obviously, one of the first boundaries is that He only dwells within believers. But here the disciples had been told by Jesus that God's Spirit would be with them forever. But there's sort of a catch here. These boundaries that the Holy Spirit He has, that He operates within, even Jesus had boundaries. And a lot of times we don't realize that. Well, Jesus was perfect. He was the greatest man to ever live. He was completely 100% God. And yet, as powerful as He was, when He walked this earth, He even had boundaries. In John 5, it says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise.'" Jesus didn't just do what He wanted to. He did what the Father wanted to. And even later in John 6, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Jesus is saying, "I didn't come here to do what I wanted to do. I came here to do the will of the Father." Those were boundaries that Jesus had. He only did what the Father told Him to do. Jesus wasn't doing His own thing. But not only did Jesus do all that the Father wanted Him to do, but even every word He spoke was in accordance to the will of the Father. Again, John mentions this. He says, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority." So it wasn't just things Jesus was doing, even the things He said. "But the Father who has sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." So Jesus is admitting, "I don't do anything on my own. I don't even say anything on my own. I do everything that the Father tells me to do." That is the life of Jesus. And I remember as a kid sometimes going, "Oh man, if I was Jesus right now, I would do this." Well, that's not how Jesus, that wasn't His life. Jesus didn't look around and go, "Oh man, I just want to go do this." As if it's my idea. No, Jesus said, "Everything I do," not even that, "everything I say is according to the will of the Father." And we see that repeated in the book of John. So Jesus, who's all-powerful, who is God, had these boundaries. He didn't sin. He didn't do anything on His own except what the Father willed. And the same is true for the Holy Spirit. He has not come into our life to advance us, not even His own self. Our personal agenda is not what the Holy Spirit has come to fulfill. And therefore, our lives as believers is not about doing what we want, but what He wants us to do. In fact, the first test of the disciples regarding the Holy Spirit is they were told to wait for Him. It says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So for the disciples, the Holy Spirit, the promise of God, the Father is coming. But He says first, Jesus says, "You're going to have to wait." Now, you realize how hard that is. That's like giving a wrapped present, to like a 5-year-old and say, "Hey, you can open it, but not until next week." Oh, my word. You know how hard that is to wait? There's something great here and I've got to wait. But the disciples had to wait. The promise of the Holy Spirit's coming, but you're going to have to wait. And to many of us, that's one of the hardest parts of Christian living, is waiting to hear from God for a prayer that we've been praying for years. Just waiting for God to show us in decisions we have to make, waiting for God to what seems like no answer. Just waiting. That's a big part of Christian living. And I think with each generation we get into, it becomes harder and harder because every generation is a little bit more advanced in technology and things. So our weight with a lot of other things goes down a lot. When I was young, Christmas seemed like forever. Now it seems like it was yesterday and the next one's going to be tomorrow. But for the young people, it seems like forever. But we live in a society where a lot of things are pretty quick. They happen. But the disciples were told to wait. You young people, there's a lot of things in your life that when you realize, I need to wait on God for this. And I know that our society teaches you that waiting's a bad thing. A slow internet, that's a bad thing. Waiting in line at the drive-thru, that's a bad thing. It's all seen as negative. But there are things that God has given us that we are to wait for. For the disciples, one of those things was the Holy Spirit. They had to wait. He says, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city. Just wait here until that power from on high is here. You see, not just in our physical life, but even in our spiritual life, we tend to want it all right now. Even spiritually. God, we want you to answer us right now. We want to know what you're going to do with the rest of our lives, and we want to know it right now. But the first thing that Jesus tells after the Spirit has come is, guys, you're going to have to wait for Him. Then, after you have waited, the power from on high will be here. And again, the Holy Spirit did not come to make the disciples to fulfill their wishes, nor does He come to fulfill our own purposes, our dreams, or even our ministry aspirations. Because the Holy Spirit comes with boundaries and within how He operates. There's two primary boundaries that I want us to recognize this morning. And the first is that He works within the will of God. God, the Holy Spirit, has come to do one thing, and that is the will of the Father for the glory of Jesus. Again, just like Jesus said, I don't come here to do my own thing. The Holy Spirit does not indwell with us to do His own thing. The Bible says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, this is Jesus talking, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. I want you to see the relationship here. The Holy Spirit guides us into the truth of God, which is the will of God, and He glorifies Jesus as He does this. The Holy Spirit of God testifies of Christ. So again, we see the unity of the Trinity here. God's will is going to be accomplished, and the Holy Spirit of God is here to do the will of God, which means He will never contradict the Word of God, because God's Word will never contradict His will. So we have those boundaries there that the Holy Spirit operates within. And a lot of times people say, well, the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that blah, 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 blah. And they'll say something, and you go, well, wait a minute, that's against Scripture. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. This saying that, because Holy Spirit will not go against the will of God or the Word of God, because they are in unison together. So that's the one boundary. The other one is the boundary the Holy Spirit operates in, or within, is a better term, as He works through the life of believers. The Holy Spirit's means of doing the will of God, His means of glorifying Jesus, the boundaries that He operates within here is within the people of God. God has chosen to do His work through people. The believer, as the Spirit of God dwells within him. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit can work through events and circumstances and miraculously do what the Father desires to do outside of the life of believers. But the primary means of His working is manifested in the life of believers. He accomplishes the will of God through the people of God. You know, that's really the story of the New Testament, is God's testimony of His Spirit working through the people of God as you read through the New Testament. The Spirit at work in the life of believers. Now, to be clear, when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they were now finally empowered to go and do not what they wanted to do, but they were now empowered to go and be witnesses for the glory of Jesus. That's what we read in Acts. You will receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit came, and one of the purposes of His coming was to empower us to be His witnesses. Now I want you to look at it this way. You were saved by God. Why? To testify about Jesus. How are you going to do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you link Acts with us being told that we're to be witnesses now of Christ, and then you understand the power of the Holy Spirit coming into the life of believers, God saved you. Now you are to testify, to be witnesses of Jesus. And He's made that possible. His means is through the power of the Holy Spirit, which really, in a nutshell, this is our mission. I mean, if you've ever wondered, what does God want to do with my life? Well, this is it. He wants you to testify of Jesus and to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be His witness. Now, sort of the gut check question here is, did this cross your mind this past week? Or are we so caught up in our busyness that we don't consider the mission that Jesus has given to all believers? If we examine our life, would we find ourselves on mission for God, even in our workplace or hobbies or the way we manage our money or our vacation planning or our education, our social life? Because you are on mission for something, but what is it? You see, the Holy Spirit didn't come to the disciples on Pentecost. Think about this. He did not come so that they would have better singing, better church services, better Bible studies, or better fellowship. He came because the people of God were now to be on mission for Jesus to be His witnesses. Now, let's admit, there's no doubt being on mission for Jesus and testifying of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's power being in your life, that will make the singing more joyful, and that will make the church more loving, and that will make your Bible study time richer. But the enhancement of those things we do, even the spiritual things, that's not why the Holy Spirit came to make those things better. The Holy Spirit came to empower us to be on mission, to be witnesses for Jesus. This is our mission. And how sad to think that there are churches filled with people who claim to be believers that say, I've had the Spirit of God living within me for years, and yet they've never testified of Jesus. Makes you wonder, are you even a believer? If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit has been given to you to be a witness for Jesus, to testify of Him. Not to testify how great your family is, or how good business is going, or how great your kids are doing, or how wonderful life's going right now. The Holy Spirit did not come to even testify about how great the church is. The Holy Spirit came to testify of Jesus through us believers who are the church. And yes, God may bless you with a great family and a great business and great friends and be a part of a great church family, but our mission is to testify of the greatness of Jesus. So are we on mission? Have you testified of Christ this past week? The Holy Spirit of God has been given to us. The Holy Spirit of God works through the people of God. So many times I think we pray for the opposite. We pray that God will, you know, do something over there, you know, without me being involved. You know, I think a lot of times we use this excuse even in witnessing. Lord, I pray You'll save so-and-so. But we don't pray for boldness to go and testify of Jesus to so-and-so. See, the Holy Spirit likes to work through believers. Now, we know that ultimately God saves people. We know that. It's not the fact that we had great words to share. But the Holy Spirit of God primarily works through believers who testify of Jesus. In our temples, our bodies, the Holy Spirit dwells. And everything He does is within the will of God to compel us to be witnesses and living testimonies of the greatness of Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses, He says. Yes, the Holy Spirit comforts us. Yes, He brings to remembrance teachings of Jesus. Yes, He ministers to us. Yes, He enables us to walk holy and live righteously. But this isn't to make us better. The Holy Spirit works in us for our obedience to the will of God to be lived out by the people of God for the glory of God. That is how the Holy Spirit works in our life. It's not to better us, to make things go well with us. That's not the purpose. Doesn't mean things won't get better. Doesn't mean things won't get well with you, but that's not the purpose. We are to be testifiers of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God living within us allows us to do that. As the Holy Spirit works within those boundaries of the will of God, which is also the Word of God, through the life of believers who are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank You today that I know that Your Spirit dwells within every believer. We know that promise. Lord, I pray that You would help us to have a greater understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in us. Lord, to be people who are bold, people who really live their life, not just day by day, but even moment by moment, thought by thought, yielding to the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Not to make things better for us, but for the glory of Jesus, as promised by the Father. May we be obedient children of God who walk in the Spirit of God for the glory of God. Lord, continue to work in our life. Help us, Lord, to understand more and more. Father, to even be excited that you have chosen to dwell within us. How incredible and really unimaginable that is. But we thank you for that promise. Lord, continue to work in our life. Lord, just help us to have a greater understanding of the Spirit's work as He dwells within us. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.